Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Anand Rathi Wealth Limited Q4 FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Feroze Azeez, Deputy Chief Executive Officer from Anand Rathi Wealth Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Zico. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the earnings call, earnings conference call for the fourth quarter and the full year ending 31st March 2024. I'm joined by our CEO, Mr. Rakesh Rawal, Mr. Jugal Mantri, who's our Group CFO, Mr. Rajesh Bhutara, the CFO, and Mr. Vishal Sanghavi, the Head Investor Relations. Amidst a fluctuating global economic environment, the Indian economy has emerged as a pillar of stability and hope. India's GDP growth for FY24 revised from 7.3%-7.6%. This growth is expected to attract more HNIs and ultra-HNIs seeking professional wealth management services. This is also noticeable in the shift towards investments in financial assets, and specifically equity-related asset classes like equity mutual funds. With India's high savings rate and this changing asset allocation trend, the wealth management industry is poised for a strong growth ahead. Our strategy to provide uncomplicated and standardized solutions to clients backed by meticulous data-driven research sets us apart in the wealth management landscape. This is evident in our consolidated assets under management growth of 52% year-on-year, and which now stands at 59,351 crores as of 31st March 2024. For the financial year 2024, we are pleased to report a remarkable 35% year-on-year increase in revenue to rupees 752 crores and 34% surge in profit after tax to 226 crores, surpassing our guidance. In terms of our net flows, during the FY24, it was a significant 41% year-on-year growth on the net flows, and that stood at 7,182 crores. Equity mutual fund net flows grew by 47% to 4,628 crores. Despite one of the small-cap equity mutual fund schemes, which was taken out on the model portfolio mid-March, and the funds were in transit. In spite of that, 4,627 crores, which is 47% growth in the equity mutual fund net mobilization year-on-year. In line with our commitment to rewarding shareholders, the board has recommended a final dividend of rupees 9 per equity share. Total dividends for the FY24 stood at 14 rupees per equity share, including interim dividend of 5 per equity share. In addition to the dividend, the board has also approved a proposal to buy back 3.7 lakh equity shares of the company at ₹4,450 per share for an aggregate amount not exceeding 164.64 crores. That represents 0.88% of the total paid-up equity share capital. Now, turning to the flagship private wealth business performance highlights, AUM grew 52% year-on-year to 57,807. On a net basis, we have added 39 new relationship managers in the last 12 months, bringing our total RM count to 332. Again, for the third consecutive quarter, we have had zero regret at RM attrition. Number of active client families increased by 19% year-on-year and stood at 9,911 as of 31st of March. Our client attrition rate in terms of AUM lost was 1.02% for FY24 as compared to 1.1% last year, reflecting our client-centric approach and a strong research-backed solution. Now let me take you all through digital wealth and OFA business. Our digital wealth business is an extension of our private wealth offering to the mass affluent segment. This segment aims to deliver a comprehensive and a scalable wealth management solution through technology, featuring real-time portfolio restructuring, access to high-quality private wealth products, research, simpler customer education, and so on and so forth. The AUM in the segment increased by 47% year-on-year and stood at 1,545 crores. Revenues from this segment grew by 64%, reaching 25 crores, Now moving to the OFA model, the OFA business is a strategic extension for capturing the wealth management landscape to service retail clients through mutual fund distributor using our technology platform. This is a subscription-led business model where our proprietary technology is used to solve the common pain points for a mutual fund distributor. As of 31st March 2024, OFA had 5,994 mutual fund distributors associated and had assets under management administration on this platform of 1,32,900 plus crores. The total revenue from this segment grew by about 17% and stood at rupees 7 crores. Before I hand over the call to Mr. Jugal Mantri, I would like to emphasize that these two promising segments present considerable growth prospect and Anand Rathi Wealth is aptly positioned to leverage them in the times ahead. Thank you. Over to you, Jugal sir.
Thank you very much, Niroj bhai. Good afternoon, everyone. Despite the challenges posed by geopolitical tensions, the resilience of the Indian equity capital market has been noteworthy, contributing significantly to wealth generation and the robust growth of the wealth management sector. Coming to our financial performance for Q4 and FY 2024, first, I will talk about Q4 FY 24. Consolidated financial performance. Our consolidated revenue for the quarter ended March 31, 2024 stood at Rs. 197 crores compared to Rs. 147 crores in Q4 FY23, registering a growth of 34% year-on-year. Trail revenue for Q4 FY24 stood at Rs. 80 crores, which grew by hefty 65% year-on-year. Our profit after tax for the quarter ended March 2024 stood at Rs. 57 crores, registering a 33% year-on-year growth compared to Rs. 43 crores in Q4 FY23. Profit after tax margin for Q4 FY24 stood at 28.8%. Now speaking about full year 2024 consolidated financial performance, the revenue for full financial year 24 stood at Rs. 752 crores compared to Rs. 559 crores in FY23, registering a 35% year-on-year growth. For full year ended FY24, trail revenue stood at Rs. 267 crores, witnessing a strong growth of 40%. PAT for FY24 registered a 34% year-on-year growth and stood at Rs. 226 crore versus Rs. 169 crore in FY23. PAT margin, profit after tax margin for FY24 stood at 30% plus. Return on equity for FY24 stood at 40%. Coming to the private wealth vertical for FY24, our flagship private wealth vertical's revenue grew by 34% year-on-year to Rs. 720 crores and profit after tax grew by 32% to Rs. 221 crores. With this, we will now open the floor for question and answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Lalit Deo from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, sir. So I have three questions. So firstly,
Mr. Deo, may I request you to use your handset, sir? Your audio is muffled, sir.
Hello, is this better?
Yes, sir, please go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Yes, now I can hear you.
Yeah, sir. So I have three questions. So firstly, one data bookkeeping question. So could you give us a gross primary and secondary expenses in this quarter? And second, we have seen significant a material increase in the expenses during the quarter. So what led to that and what would be our outlook on the expenses side for the next couple of years? So like when we have guided for a revenue growth of 21% and 24% of earnings growth. So like what would be the outlook on the expenses? And thirdly, we have added about 39 RMs during the year. Now with the total base of about 330 RMs, how many RMs would be and are mature in the system? And what are our target plans for the next 2 years on the RM addition?
Lalit, both are a question. Okay, it's quite intertwined. I'll try and not dodge them unintentionally. But yeah, basically primary and secondary split, which you wanted, 5,182 crores of gross sourcing of primary and 1,474 crores of secondary issuance. That's your first question's answer. I can tell you what we look at internally and what I would request any shareholder to look at. We are an evolving business. We are not a matured business. Okay, expenses in the employee head will change as the maturity changes. What we are very positive about internally is a 40% PBT margin, which we are very positive about, and we are very positive about a 30% PAT margin. If last year, same time, if there were approximately 135 RMs who had finished 5 years in the system, now if you have 165, 168 of them, that means 30 of them in a single year move to a mature category of 5 year plus, right? So whatever be the expense differentials, 40 PBT of the revenue and 30 PAT. Internal positive number is one thing which I wanted to tell you about. And in the minutest things, the bigger picture will get lost, is why I'm telling you what goes in our mind. And your last question I would like to take again because I didn't write it down, that is why.
Yes. Yeah, so I was saying on the plans of addition of RMs over the next 2 years.
The plans for addition of RMs is going to be driven by external and internal hires. I think a growth of the current nature, we've added about 40, 50 additions per year. No, or more is very, very likely. See, I don't want to give you a guidance on that because it is the filter is not how many numbers I want. How many people can carry my proposition effectively to the marketplace without diluting it? That's the limiting factor, right? Otherwise, you have 360 account managers approximately who are being trained. So we may be one of the few wealth management outfits who knows their next 100 RMs, at least 80 out of the next 100 RMs today. And we are training them today because we don't believe in waking up and saying, I need 20. We have to work on them for 2-3 years to get the same cultural fit, which is driven by what binds us together is client centricity, not money. That's why there is 9 months of zero attrition, right? Otherwise, anybody would pay twice the salary to pick an RM from ARWL, right? Why don't people leave? Because what binds us together is what we have to do for our client, because that's the person puts food on our table. So the limiting factor for us is not how many people can we hire or how much capital I have to reinvest. Do I not dilute myself in the aspiration of numbers? So to answer your pointed question, it could be anywhere between 40, 60, 70 for the next couple of years. And the limiting factor will not be capital. It will not be number of people wanting to join us. It will be without diluting, that becomes a necessary, if not a sufficient condition.
So, and sir, last question on this, on the MLD issuance. So for the next couple of years, what kind of an outlook are we looking at it? As we remember, last quarter we highlighted that of the overall AUM mix, about 60% is now currently coming in the mutual fund, whereas the share of structured products is right now at 24%. So what would be the overall mix of the AUM which can be looked upon in the next 2 years?
30-35% in structures, 55% in equity mutual funds, 50-55% in equity mutual funds, 8-10% in debt, and some others. Others is raw material for our alignment process. So if today it is 24-25% structure because of the extensive mark-to-market last year on the equity mutual fund side, it should get restored back to 30. That's our aspiration. Okay, and you will see that over a period of next 1-2 years, depending on what mark-to-markets both these assets throw up in the next 1 year, 2 years. Does that answer, sir?
Yes, sir.
So you can do a follow-up if I didn't.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you, sir. And next question is from the line of Bhavin Pandey from Athena Investments. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Am I audible?
Yes, Bhavin.
Sir, please go ahead.
Yeah. So just congratulations on surpassing the guidance. The first question was on the strategy that was taken out of the model portfolio. So was it sort of valuation? So if you could shed some light and also realignment towards the new strategy that would be included for whatever 800 CR that could not be included in the inflow?
Sorry, I didn't clearly follow your question. I got a gist. Bhavita, if you can probably again articulate it for me so that I don't give you an incorrect answer.
So, Feroz, this small cap strategy that was taken out of the model portfolio in mid of March, and the funds are in transit right now. So, what was the reason for taking out the strategy, and where are those funds getting allocated now?
Okay, super. Now I got it so clearly. Thank you so much to repeat yourself. So what was the reason for removing a small cap fund? Because we went hammer on tongs last financial year into small caps because historical performances were bad. So we try and remove the emotional aspect. Past performance doesn't drive our decision making, unlike investors should. Investors do. So as a wealth management outfit, we had gone from one scheme of small cap to three schemes on 1st April 2024. And that call went reasonably right. So that's why our model portfolios, alphas over Nifty, went up to 16-odd% for the last financial year. So we wanted to take some money off the table. This was not from fear saying that small cap is overvalued, because small cap is a very, very large segment. 250 stocks in the small cap. In Morgan Stanley's index, there are 460 stocks in the small cap. Making a general statement that small cap is overvalued and acting on it may be very, very macro for an index which has got a stock with 10 PE and has a stock with 300 PE. So we don't paint all of it in the same brush. So it was not emanating from valuations. It was emanating from the fact that you had gone long. Several wealth management outfits became negative on small cap in the September, October last year. But the liquidity has always been there. And if in a country where there's 800 lakh crores of household savings, 2.5 lakh crores, which is 0.3-0.4% in a small cap category, is not a very large amount. And I think we will not be limited by demand for small cap stocks, but the supply of small cap stocks and its free float. So to come back to your pointed question, why did we remove? Because we had made money and we wanted to book some profits. Automatically, if you look at where this money will go, this will depend on each client's specific gap sheet, as we call it. If the client has desired to have 50% in equity, 45%, 55% in equity mutual funds, 35% in structures, it will automatically go to those portions where there's a gap on the desired allocation. So we generally fix the desired allocation with most of our clients. And then whenever there is liquidity emanating from an exit or from the client, it will be plugged into the gap as per the gap sheet, so that the top of mind products are not sold, but a strategic way of managing money. So now to answer your pointed question, most clients have a gap in structure products because the proportions of structure products have become lower owing to the mark-to-market increase in the mutual fund side. Both Nifty and the alphas we've been able to generate with our 14 scheme model. Does that answer, Bhavin sir?
Perfect. So Feroz, following up on that, would you think it would be safe for us to assume that our blended yield would be much higher in next 2 years? Because of the mix of structured products improving?
Blended, you see, I would say it is a function of several things. In our opinion, blended yield could go up, but if there is a mark-to-market downwards, and then automatically the proportions of structured product get restored to 30 if there is a market fall, which is unlikely. I'm speaking about 1% probabilities, 0.5% probabilities also. So it will not be right for me to guide a higher yield. Are you with me, sir? Like that 30 became 24 on account of mark-to-market. So since it has a function, so I would not guide an higher yield. We are looking at a long-term yield of 1.3-1.4%. That's something which we don't compromise on. The yield is computed backwards on a structured product, on a five-year product, on market value. That's how mutual funds compute. The yield is about 1.17-1.2%. Because of the accounting function, you might get 10-20 bits higher. Mutual funds give us 1.1% post-GST, and we don't expect any shrinkage. But there could be incidental higher yields, and that since there is another variable which is not in your control, the restoration of 30 can happen if there's a mark-to-market differential, is why I would not guide a higher yield, but expecting the yields which I just stated would be a fair thing to do.
Oh, perfect, perfect, Feroz. Thank you so much, and good luck ahead for 2025.
Thank you, sir, for your kind questions and your comment.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pallavi Deshpande from Samiksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to understand this, the others portion, which was high in December. So you guided that, you know, it takes time to deploy the money. So just wondering, it continues to be high. So just wanted some...
Correct. So it continues to be high because the influx is also reasonable. And when you are transferring a PMS to yourself and that you're supposed to be aligning to a mutual fund, the mark-to-market of a PMS could be similar to a mutual fund. Are you with me, Pallavi madam?
Yes.
Right? So that's your raw material. Okay. If the raw material is more, I'm happy. If the proportion would have increased with a decrease in AUM, I would be worried. You have to see it in conjunction. Right? If my AUM guidance was 55,000 crores revised from 47 to 55 and then ended at 59. Okay? If it was the other way around, if I faltered on my AUM guidance and others' proportions went up, that as a combo is a more speaking variable. It speaks more. So since the AUMs have been exceeded, AUM guidance, and we've ended at about 59,000 as against 55,000 as lately as December, so I would say that it's something which internally we feel happy that we have more in others currently, which means that there's huge potential for the future. Of course, it's internally we'll be happy. Shareholders might want to take it with a pinch of salt, but yeah, that's their choice.
You mentioned about, you know, the RM not being the limiting factor to dilute on the performance. Right? I mean, I understood that correctly, right?
Hello, ma'am. You were muffled, so I could barely hear you. If you can please.
Right. Yeah, I'll just repeat that. So, what would be, these are two questions in one. So, what would be our target for new family additions this year? And, like you, I think you mentioned on the RM side, that's not the target. You know, how many people can carry forward your position, not diluting yourself. On that side,
ma'am, sorry to interrupt you. May I request you to use your handset, sir? Ma'am, your audio is not very clear.
Yeah, I'll just make it short. What would be the family addition target for this year?
On these, I will rather call these not as targets, as aspiration, internal aspiration. On both of those questions which you had, we have this aspiration of, we have this long-standing aspiration which we have not met of having one RM per client. Per RM per month, that makes it 332 till we get to full capacity. An RM's capacity is 50 clients per RM. Of course, some of them are above that, so excluding them, if I look at it, our internal aspiration is also a stronger word, dream. Okay, let me put it a milder word. Our dream is one client per RM per month till he gets to his 50 or she gets to his 50. Now, looking at the next year, the kind of client love we are seeing and affection we are seeing and the reference avalanche which may happen, and there are some green shoots of it, for the next year, our internal target, not a guidance again, will be 200 per month.
Right. Thank you, sir. That's all from us.
And on the number of RM additions, of course, we are into the new financial year. So there again, not a guidance, only an aspiration. I think we should get closer to 380, 390.
Right, and just continuing that on the RM side, the more than 5 less than 5 years, that shift that happens, does that impact the compensation? I mean, is there a...
See, it's a function of time. If you write an equation, it's a function of time that most of our people, if there is no leaking bucket, if your clients are not leaking, why are the clients not leaking? Because RMs are not leaking. Why are RMs not leaking? Because what binds them together is not selfish motives. So, coming to your pointed question, how many RMs will we have above 5 years? It's just a function of time because you've had 9 months of zero regret attrition, and I think that should continue. So, over a period of time, the number of people between 3 and 5 years, how many, Vishal?
Vintage.
Okay, that should be the presentation. I think you will see, like last year we saw 138 going to 168 above 5 years. After 5 years, the RM has built a book which is intergenerational from his perspective, not even in his lifetime, right? So since it's a function of time, so you have 36 people who are above 3 years, below 5 years. In the next year and a half, we should become 5 year plus. So automatically, that should take it to, because the average time these 36 would have spent, if they don't leave Anand Rathi Wealth Limited, then they automatically, as a function of time, will take this number to 200 in a year, year and a half, depending on the average time they spent. Does that answer, Pallavi ma'am?
Yes.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ritika Dua from Bandhan Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, and congratulations on a good set of results. So two questions which are not already, I just wanted some follow-ups on the same. So first is on the MLD bit. So you said that it could go back to 30. I'm not holding that as a guidance. I'm just saying maybe directionally it will go up from the current mix. What are the new, are we building new capacity for this, and that's how, or we think that maybe in a time where the markets are doing very well, maybe mutual funds take over a little bit more versus MLD, and maybe in the next 2 years, obviously, markets do stabilize, and you know, that's how the MLD has come back into flavor. So just wanted to understand the, you know, the reason for the 30-35% improvement. What are the vectors for the same? And the second question is that obviously you have given a very good guidance for FY25. But do you think it is a little conservative? Because in the previous question, you said that the number of RMs could actually reach 380, so that's about a 14% growth. And then obviously you would have some of your older RMs continuing to actually move higher up. Last year, this year also, you had some 20% actually growth in your RMs, which are more than 5 years, which actually yield to a very high productivity. So if you could just kindly dwell a little more into your guidance of a 24% PAT growth and a 21% AUM growth. So these are the two questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Is that Ritika? You said your name, madam, so that I can accept you with
you. Yes, sir. Ritika Dua.
Okay, so your first question, which was on flavor, whether it's structured products or mutual funds, we don't go by flavor trends. We try to, because if you're dealing with 9,911 families, you're expected to meet them 12 times a year. You will dictate the trend in the subset. If I was a retail business of 10 lakh people, I will go by trends. Here, you will influence their thought process. That is what the relationship business is all about. So I'm not going to go by flavor. In fact, we find the most important cognitive bias, which is called recency bias. A client will be tempted to buy what performed very well last 1 year. And that's exactly my job role, to counter that and not let him get carried away with rear view mirror analysis, right? Of course, the propensity of a client to buy a mutual fund today will be higher. Last year, the same client was telling me structure product 40% kyun nahi karte. Same client is saying, okay, is baat structure product 30% karte. That's called the recency bias. That's the cognitive bias we fight by showing numbers. That's where the gap sheet, which I just alluded to in the previous question, comes into picture. So you don't go by your what is your top of mind flavor. You go by where is the gap as per your strategic decision, which is not swayed by what happened in the last 3, 4, 5 months or even a year or 2 years. So recency bias is what we fight. So we will not go by flavor, we will go by gaps. If a client disagrees, then we counsel him. That's where that 3-4 years is needed. New clients are not seen as revenue machines. There is something you have to work on. You have to build that relationship for 3-4 years with data, data, data to eliminate the heart aspect as much as possible and bring more mathematics, which is the mind aspect of wealth management business. So coming to the second part, again, when RMs again get added, we are not in a hurry of how much revenue they will bring. Again, they are not my revenue machines. They are people, again, you build a relationship with an RM, build his capability, her capability, bring the same social fabric. It takes years to build that. So I'm now, but the third part, will we always believe and give you a conservative guidance? That's going to be our DNA for sure. Does it mean that I will beat the guidance is what I'm saying? No, because God also has a lot to do in the next 12 months. So, but 280 in our belief currently is something which we can put on the table, and deep down we know we are not exaggerating.
And so just on the first question that I had, if you could just elaborate a little bit more. So I understand that, you know, obviously having met you and understood that our process on suggesting a particular product is obviously very scientific. But so just wanted to little bit more on the MLD. So when you guide for or when you say rather, if not guide, that the share of MLDs would improve, what I was trying to check is that do you look that the capacities in this particular segment will move up? That's how it is a 30-35% kind of a mix from the current, if I'm not wrong, 25%. Or is it that that some of the investors do not have MLDs, which if they look to add to their portfolio, that's how the mix would move up? Or thirdly, does it naturally happen that if at all we assume that markets are going to maybe not going to be the way they have been buoyant in the last 1 year, naturally the share of MLDs move up? So I just wanted to understand that, you know, when you say a 30-35%, what are the points that you look to highlight to assume for us that it should move 30-35%, because this will obviously take your yields also higher. So that's the last thing. Thank you.
So, yes, madam. So it's not market-driven, like it may not be buoyant. So the 30% number which I just said as not a guidance, as a number which was in my heart, that comes from, it stems from the fact that we do a lot of realignment yearly. Or every 15 months, our model portfolio also goes through some rejig. Depending on if we had cash in our bank account, will I buy the same 13 schemes? The answer may come no. So I look at doing a full zero-based exercise of what I want in mutual funds. When you actually do that exercise, if your proportions are not as per the decided allocation, let's assume I am a client, which I am, of course, a happy one. If my proportion decided an equity mutual fund was 55, 35 in structures and 10, hypothetically, or 65 in mutual funds and 35, equity mutual funds and 35 in structure products with zero debt, if this was my proportion on the beginning of the year, at the end of the year, because the 65 grew at 40-45% last year, the mark-to-market brings me to 72 in equity mutual funds and 28 in structures. Come May, June, if my equity mutual funds are being re-evaluated, if there is one fund which I exit, I would not buy back equity mutual funds. The 7 rupees may get reallocated to structured funds. Are you with me? So we do a one full-fledged exercise every 15 months of equity mutual. In that, if I redeem 3 funds, I may not buy 3 funds back. I will bring it back to 65-35. And all clients will do it at different points in time. So that's the reason why I said 30%, and this will be the large reason of realignment, which is a yearly exercise, which we do.
Very useful, sir. Thank you so much. I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, madam, for your question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Gandhi from Stallion. Please go ahead.
My question is answered. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Prayesh Jain from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, everyone. So just a question on your guidance. So if I look at your
net margin that you are disclosing, that is also similar to what you have reported in FY 2024. And even if I look at your realizations of the yields, both that also looks flattish. Now, both given that you have given a guidance that MLDs could go up, or not a guidance, an indicative trend, I would have assumed that the yields would have gone up. And secondly, you know, given the scale advantage that the business has, you know, why aren't your net margins kind of improving next year?
Sir, net margins are not improving next year because this is a guidance, point one.
Yeah.
Point two, the business has to be understood a little more macro than the real small numbers. That's how I look at it. Rakesh sir looks at it, Jugal sir looks at it. So I'm just telling you. The business is all about making 1.2, 1.3 yield on a long-term basis. Could be 5 basis, 10 basis here or there, don't hold me to that. And what is the net flow I'm adding? You have to project what is the revenue, what will be my AUM in 2029 March? That's my internal target. March 2029, what will be my AUM?
Mm-hmm.
On account of a mark-to-market in the client's portfolios, on account of how much new money I bring per month, on account of how much growth in net mobilization will I have, you have to first project what will be my expected AUM in 2029 March. That's what I do. It's your choice whether you do it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Then you multiply that with 1.2, 1.3, or 1.4, or 1.1, depending on your assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
On what is the revenue I'll have? 40% of that should be PBT, and 30% should be my PAT. This is how we look at our business. Okay, and in that interim formative years, our business is not even a teen. It is in its formative years. If I have to compare with human life, it is a 10-year-old child, not an 80-year-old child. So there will be numbers which will take us away from the macro picture. I'm just trying to bring you to the model, which I look at as a professional, being a part of this company for the last 12 years. Now, coming to how we look at it is, we are very possessive about consistency. We don't like to have very great numbers some days for our clients. We like to bring in consistency because it's not about possibilities in life, it's about probabilities. So you would see that we are so possessive about our consistency, that we would be one of the few companies in the country who would have calculated the mean result, the median result, the standard deviation of our results. And the worst of year-on-year growth we have given was March 2023, 23.6% growth. And the mean is 33.8. Don't hold me to second decimal or first decimal. Median is 34. And standard deviation of our results, leaving the COVID ones, which had a base effect, so for fairness sake, I'm leaving those. Last nine results or eight results, which are now eight. Eight results, standard deviation of our yearly growth is 4.8%. That's how numerical we want to be with our shareholders. So I'm not gonna project an yield increase on variables which are out of our control. Then under-commit, over-deliver will be very difficult to hold. Does it answer?
So if I just, you know, while you really spoke about a long-term targets or long-term view of the company, but from a, say, if I look at it from a FY 2025, FY 2026 perspective, now, is it fair to assume that the cost that you would be incurring would be in line with your revenue growth? And I would like to understand as to what levels of cost or what elements of cost are that are getting added, or what are the level, or what are the segments you are investing in, for you to kind of extrapolate the growth in expenses to be in line with the growth in revenues? That will be one bit. And second bit, is it, in spite of the rising mix of MLDs, we will still see a flattish yield. Is that what you're guiding for? That is a fair assumption, right?
No, I'm not guiding for. I know what is the word you're looking for, operating leverage.
Yes.
I didn't want to use this word because we like to have it unfold. Because we have given you a guidance, and we've told you that this is under commit, over deliver. I don't want to promise an operating leverage, because जो मैंने guide किया उसको hold करना मेरे लिए बड़ा, we are very positive about it. That's why I'm not speaking of operating leverage. Do I deep down believe there is some operating leverage? Yes, it is. Now that you're putting me in the corner to answer that, which I was conveniently not wanting to commit, because that's what keeps us up. If we overcommit, it disturbs our sleep as professional. That's why you don't want a new variable which you are going to be asked of. We have already given you our aspiration of trail to upfront 50-50. Now that's something which runs in our mind and in our actions on a daily basis. That's where you see trail has come up from 35% to 37%. Now I already have an extra variable which I've spoken about, not guided, but we like to deliver what we speak. So that's why I don't want to give any operational efficiency. And for an external party, upfront income could be something which is not predictable for in inverted commas. For us internally, it's as predictable as trail, or at least 80% as predictable as trail, because monies get reinvested after tax monies. Because I know, I have met clients, I am an RM myself, I know what maturities will come and will it get reinvested on the basis of the behavior of clients. And I meet three clients a day. So I know that upfront revenue for me is predictable. Of course, an external party will take it as a pinch of salt, saying that, yaar, ye kaise predictable hai. Right? So we believe it's predictable, upfront revenues. And we believe and we don't expect you to though.
And lastly, on your dividend payout, what are the thoughts in terms of, you know, overall future? How should we look at it? Should this level of payout be maintained, or is there any scope to increase it further? How do we see this?
Our dividend policy says 30 to 50%. I think we will stay in that range. Is that?
Got it. Thank you so much and wish you all the best.
And I actually, sorry, by mistake, dodged one of the questions. Rakesh sir beautifully answers that, and that's where he's given. Rakesh sir, hai aap?
Hello.
Hello, sir. So yeah. Where are our areas of reinvestment? You generally give us a lot of guidance there. So actually, there was a question saying that which are the areas of reinvesting money and not worrying about operational efficiency today?
Like Feroz has mentioned, that we are a strong growth company, and with a 20-25% compounding, the size of the company over the next few years, 5 years, will become very large. And therefore, we have to make sure that we build strong pillars which can hold this large organization together. So therefore, for example, marketing. For example, the whole introduction of the platinum segmentation, which is 50 crores plus kind of clients. Yeah. So several of these areas are there where we have to invest money. So what we are trying to do is to maintain that 40% margin, and whatever operating leverage we get, we reinvest into the business in some of these verticals. Yeah. We will strengthen our HR far more than what it is today. Yeah. Despite having, zero attrition, does our HR need strengthening? Yes, it does. And we are in the process of doing that. So internally, there are several areas that we need to strengthen so that we can have sustainable growth. Yeah? So that's why to the market, we are saying, hey, don't have an expectation more than 40%.
Got that. Thank you. That's helpful. Wish you all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sunil Shah from SRE PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations, Feroz, and the entire team at Anand Rathi for this super performance. This is about, you know, the 2029, 5 years down the line, and you just hated the simplest way to look at it is, I'm audible, I hope?
Yes, Sunil sir.
Yeah, okay. So, Feroz, you just stated the best way to look at it 5 years down the line would be that we are having a growth of roughly 33% at a mean level. Am I getting that number correct in terms of the AUM growth?
No. Okay. Yeah, last 10 years could be that. What I meant when I spoke those 33% in the context of last 9 results, mean annual growth is 33%, and the median annual growth is 34%. Because we like to have consistency for a shareholder as well, just like a client. That's the context in which I said. It was not a forward-looking statement. It was actually a backward-looking statement. So the last, we've got listed in December 21. So I think is our 11th result.
Yeah. Okay. So if you know, I think our, as you stated, you've been there in the organization for like 12 years. And I believe a lot of people would also be amongst your RNs would be there for a good period of time. Now, maybe all that you've invested in the organization to make it very, very robust and evolve over time. So the next 5 year journey could be even better in that sense. So I'm just trying to say that if the market is compounding, let's say 15%, and if you are increasing your manpower strength by, you know, similar number, then still sustaining the 30% growth rate will probably not be a challenge given that the mean growth has been at that rate. That's number one. Second is, if I extrapolate this 59,000 crores of AUM and look at in 2029, my AUM number comes to something around 250,000 crores. I'm just looking at a directional, you know, thought process which I have. Is my thinking significantly in a wrong direction, or if you could help me to understand where I can still improve on my thought process?
No, sir, I think you're very close to our thought process, not numerically, but since we have this principle of count that asset which is yielding, okay, so it becomes very easy for a shareholder. See, if I, like I worked for a previous company where anything and everything can be counted as AUM. So how does a shareholder decide whether this will give me 1.3 yield? In Anand Rathi, we are a gatekeeper. We bring those clients and those assets which marry our thought process. If somebody, like if my cousin said, I've sold my business, I'm giving you 800 crores of arbitrage fund, I'd say, I don't want this, brother. So we are a gatekeeper of bringing long-term assets. So the thought process is, jo assets hain, us pe aap yield kamayenge. जहां आपका हक नहीं बनता वहां नहीं कमाएंगे, जहां आपका हक बनता है वहां नहीं छोड़ेंगे. दिस इज आवर मंत्रा विद आवर क्लाइंट्स आल्सो, राइट? वी डोंट गिव म्यूचुअल फंड पे डिस्काउंट टू ल्योर समबडी टू स्टार्ट. सो कमिंग बैक, यस, यू शुड प्रोजेक्ट एन एयूएम. आई थिंक यू शुड प्रोजेक्ट एन एयूएम कॉन्जर्वेटिवली. सो द नंबर विच यू हैड इन माइंड वॉज लार्जर देन माई नंबर, बिकॉज इट्स ऑलवेज गुड, बिकॉज यू गुड टाइम्स डोंट नीड प्रेपरेशन, राइट? सो यू कैन ऑलवेज हैव a little conservative approach on that, and then multiplying it with revenue, then with PAT, PBT and PAT, I think that's a, and like you rightly said, I have finished 12 years, but I'm still the most junior, most representative on this call. Rakesh sir has finished 17 years on 1st April 2007 is when he joined. He's one of the longest standing CEOs, and change in management was the reason why this is my third job. Unfortunately, it would have been my first job. I left the company because the promoters changed. ABN AMRO was sold. So point I'm trying to make is, I'm still the junior most. Jugalji has spent 30 years in this brand, and I have spent 12. Of course, Vishalji makes me look pretty by having only spent 5 years, because he's a young man.
Yeah. More importantly, you know, I think the way in which the culture is getting built up in terms of the new RMs, which will then carry on the legacy for even longer period of time. So that's really a great thing to do. Again, coming back to the number bit, which I was talking about. So once the AUM number is arrived at 5 years down the line, the simplest way to do it is 1.2% of the AUM as my top line revenue estimate, and arrive at a 30% bottom line estimate of the top line which I arrive at. That would be the way to go about, right?
Okay, you're almost cornering me. Similar, I would
say. Whatever the AUM number is, whether it's 2 lakh crores or 250,000 crores, for me to just have some number in my mind, the best way to look at it is 1.2%, even if it's not 1.3% as the current number is. 1.2% will be my top line, and 30% of that will be my bottom line. That's directionally the right way to think.
Yes. Yes, you are in the right, you are in the right direction, sir, and that's what how I would look at it as well, if I were supposed to be looking at it. And when Rakesh sir has said, and since he is the head of the pack and we are foot soldiers, when he says 20-25% growth for decades, now you have to see, you would not say it if he doesn't mean it. And I think after 23 years in the industry, after having worked in FMCG, he understands the industry enough. And when he says 20-25% long-term guidance compounded, will there be years more than that? There will be years more than that. And that's how the last 2 years have panned out. And you're building a business which is market agnostic, unlike most people's belief. They think financial services market momentum pe chalega. भाई लास्ट 11 क्वार्टर में क्या क्या नहीं हुआ। यूक्रेन की वॉर हो गई, 15,200 पे चली गई, एचडीएफसी का मर्जर हो गया, वापस 18 पे आ गई, वापस जून में इन्फ्लेशन बढ़ गया, वापस 15,200 पे गई। इन ऑल दिस हाउ डिड द क्वार्टरली रिजल्ट कम आउट रीजनेबली कंसिस्टेंट? दैट्स द पॉइंट टू पॉन्डर अपॉन फॉर एनालिस्ट, विच दे विल जस्ट पेंट एवरीथिंग इन द सेम ब्रश। फाइनेंशियल सर्विसेज मार्केट अच्छी चल गई, चल गए। वन गाय सेड दिस टू मी, आई सेड 2 years प्लीज सी मार्केट इज टच 18,000 four times and 15,000 four times. But look at the quarterly result. Last quarter was not the great market sentiment. After December, things changed, but my net mobilization was good. So we are trying to build a market agnostic, logical finance company, and sales is an outcome. This is what is our internal aspiration.
Right, right. So market will do what it has to do, which is unfortunately or fortunately not in either one of us hands. The important thing would be to build a team of RMs, which will be completely, you know, in your hands and create that culture. So we are looking at growing our RM base by at least a 10% kind of a thing on a sustainable basis year on year for the next 5 years, because 15% is what market will give me. For my 25% growth, the 10% RM push has to be there. That's a conservative thing to look at, 10% growth in RM base year on year for the next 5 years.
So there's actually how we look at it is there are four mutually exclusive variables of growth. We said this in the first result. Of course, there is now some degree of credibility. There's Rakesh sir. Rakesh sir, you want to speak of those four legs of growth? The more.
Well, I can try.
Yes, please.
So as Firoz mentioned, that the first leg of growth is the portfolios giving return, you know, which is market dependent, but there are other factors as well as you know, alpha and so on and so forth. So that we expect, you know, long term, 5 years, 12, 13, 14% kind of growth coming from that variable. Then we have our, you know, existing, you know, clients who are not fully with us. There are several clients where part of the book is with us, and therefore by showing them performance and with building the relationship, we have been drawing their assets from other, wherever they are kept, including real estate, onto financial assets, as well as other advisors through a series of processes of audit and so on and so forth. That will continue, that will add to my growth, which is existing clients, money is outside. Then we have new clients coming in with, and they're starting with whatever they are starting. That will be a third vertical of growth. And the fourth vertical of growth is adding new RMs to the kitty. Yeah. So as you said in the beginning, there is market growth plus RMs bringing in money, but there are two additional factors which also bring in business, and that will add to. So when you add all this, you know, is it likely to be more than 20-25%? Well, we think it is likely to be. Is it something which is an opportunity for 1 year or 2 years? No, I believe there's an opportunity for several multiple years. And that's why we are saying that there is a very, very high probability of this business growing at 20-25% for a very, very long period of time. That's the way at least we look at it.
Absolutely. Fine. Thanks, sir. Thanks for this wonderful explanation. Thanks, Firoz. Thanks, the entire team. Please continue the great work. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question of the question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I'd like to thank everyone for being a part of this call. We hope we have tried to answer your questions. If you need more information, please feel free to contact Vishal Sir Sangvi, our investor relations head, or Rajesh Bhutraji, our CFO. Thank you so much for your time and patience. Thank you, Rakesh Sir, Jugalji, Rajesh Sir, Shankar. Thank you,
everyone. Thank you, Sharoz. Thank you, Jugalji.
Thank you. On behalf of Anand Rathi Wealth Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.